The Lord be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Mary sat out in those days and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Here's the story now, once again, of the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary to her cousin Saint Elizabeth. And if it sounds familiar, it's because you just heard it on Wednesday, the 12th, Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. We read this same gospel. But here's an aspect of it now that I could not explain to you then, and I hope you find this interesting. Saint Luke deliberately uses phrases and images in this gospel to show that the Blessed Virgin Mary is the Ark of the Covenant. Deliberately. Now, some of you old-timers might admit to remembering an old movie called Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? 1981, which was very long ago. One of the great things that movie did was it made the Ark of the Covenant famous. But if you don't know what the Ark of the Covenant is, it was the most holy object in all of Judaism. It was believed to be the dwelling place of God on earth in the temple. It was a box made of acacia wood and plated in gold. And inside the Ark of the Covenant were the two tablets of the Ten Commandments, the staff of Aaron, and the manna from the desert that the people had gathered as they wandered to the Promised Land. Three images that symbolized the coming of the Messiah, by the way. Priest, prophet, and king. But most importantly, it was believed to be the dwelling place of God on earth. I shouldn't even say was believed, because, you know, archaeologically speaking, there's a lot of people that believe it's still out there. It's just never been found, right? It'd be the find of the century if they ever found it. But here's St. Luke now saying that the Blessed Virgin Mary is the Ark of the Covenant. Why would she be the Ark of the Covenant? Because in her womb is God on earth. She is the most sacred object in all the world. Now, before God, the Ark of the Covenant drew down special privileges, special favors. When the people entered into the Promised Land, the Ark of the Covenant made the waters of the Jordan River cease to flow so that all the people walked through on dry land. When the people tried to conquer the Promised Land, the Ark of the Covenant went with them from victory to victory to victory, and the greatest victory of all was at the city of Jericho, the most fortified, most wealthy, and most powerful city in all the land of Canaan. But with the Ark of the Covenant, God's people walked around the city of Jericho with its powerful walls 7 times and just blew ram's horns, and the walls of the city just fell down. The most powerful force in all of Canaan was suddenly powerless and defenseless because of the favor God showed his people through the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, so here's St. Luke now telling us the Blessed Mother is the Ark of the Covenant. How does he do that? 5 ways. First way is in the very beginning of this gospel, it says that Mary arose in haste and went to the hill country in a town of Judah. It's the exact same language used in the second book of Samuel, when King David arose in haste and went to a hill country in the town of Judah, where was waiting for him the Ark of the Covenant. Secondly, When Elizabeth sees the Blessed Virgin Mary, she's struck with awe and reverence at this woman who's come to her. And the exact opposite should be the case. It should be Mary who's showing reverence to Elizabeth, because Mary's young and Elizabeth is old. Mary comes from Nazareth and Elizabeth comes from Jerusalem. Mary is betrothed to a poor carpenter, and Elizabeth is married to one of the most prominent priests in the city of the priestly division of Abijah. And yet it's Elizabeth who shows deference to Mary, and that's exactly the same way that King David acted when he came into the presence of the Ark of the Covenant in the hill country of Judea. He was struck with awe and reverence. And it says that Elizabeth cried out in a loud voice. That phrase is used only one time in the New Testament, right here. The exact words of St. Luke are anaphonesin in phone mege. It's the Greek. Anaphonesin in phone mege. Cried out in a loud voice. You know why that's interesting? Those are the exact same words, word for word, that is used every time one of the Israelites in the Old Testament came into the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. They cried out in a loud voice. And then the infant in her womb leaped for joy at the closeness of the Lord. What did King David do when he came into the presence of the Ark of the Covenant in the hill country of Judea? He leapt for joy upon seeing God's Ark. And then lastly, St. Luke tells us that the Blessed Virgin Mary remained for 3 months with her cousin Elizabeth and then returned home. And what did the second book of Samuel say that King David did when he came to the hill country of Judea and found the Ark of the Covenant? He remained for 3 months and then took the Ark home. Deliberate parallels now. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the Ark of the Covenant. And why would that be so important to us? Well, let's remember. St. Luke is the gospel who tells us about the Blessed Mother. They say that St. Luke personally knew the Blessed Mother. How else could he have gotten these stories, right? She's the only one who was witness to what happened. But it's like Luke wants us to know about her. And the church wants us to know about her. Why? Because just like the Ark of the Covenant, the Blessed Virgin Mary calls down extraordinary favors on God's people. And Christ our Lord wants us to know this. When it came time for the people of Israel to cross into the Promised Land, the Ark of the Covenant made the water of the Jordan River dry up to nothing, giving the people an unfair advantage as they crossed in from slavery at last into freedom in the Promised Land. And the Blessed Virgin Mary, her prayers want to give her children an unfair advantage as they enter into the real Promised Land, which is the Kingdom of Heaven. Right? So here's what I tell people. Never despair of your loved ones and relatives who've wandered from the faith. Put them into the hands of the Blessed Mother. It's her job to get them to heaven, and she's going to give them an unfair advantage. And then kind of like I said, if you remember me when I preached on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, how we're up against these forces in the world, right? The strength and might and power of secularism and atheism and an anti-gospel mentality. And we'd say, well, what are we going to do about this? I'm telling you, just like the walls of the city of Jericho just crumbled down to nothing at the presence of the Ark of the Covenant, I'm telling you, somehow the powers of evil, they're going to crumble down to nothing. And somehow it's going to be because of the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She's the one who's prophesied to crush the head of the ancient serpent. So that's why we want to know about the Blessed Virgin Mary in this way. Her greatness is never in her titles. Her greatness is in her faith. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. Let's imitate that faith of hers and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Peter Canisius, pray for us.